Time now for this week's Planet Earth. And what happens to the hormone-disrupting chemicals in contraceptive pills or hormone replacement therapies once they've left the body? Well, they end up in the sewage system and eventually as effluent in rivers. But it seems that many of these chemicals are still active and they're having an effect on fish. Planet Earth podcast presenter Richard Hollingham has been talking to Charles Tyler from the University of Exeter, a world expert on this problem.
One particular group of chemicals that we've been focused on are chemicals called estrogens or environmental estrogens. And these are chemicals that can mimic and copy the body's hormone estrogen, which is a female sex hormone. And they include, these estrogens include natural steroid estrogens derived from women, derived from the human population. They include contraceptive estrogens from the contraceptive pill. Also, actually, things like horse estrogens, equine estrogens, which are used in hormone replacement therapy. Then in addition to that, they also include chemicals that copy and mimic the structure of those natural steroid estrogens, so various industrial products.
Now, we're in one of your aquarium labs at the University of Exeter, and surrounded, well, floor to ceiling by transparent tanks full of, well, beautifully coloured zebrafish zipping backwards and forwards, and they're called zebrafish because they have these stripes running horizontally along them. And each one, I suppose, I can't really measure them because they're going so fast, about 2 centimetres long, something like that.
These are one of the key model species that we now use to try and help us understand how some of these chemicals I mentioned, how they work in the body. Because we know now from studies on wild fish that they're being affected by these chemicals that are being discharged. They're being feminised. Males are being feminised, essentially. And so one of the big questions that we're trying to address in relation to the use of the zebrafish is how and where these chemicals work in the body.
And you say they're being feminized. What do you mean by that?
That males are showing traits or characteristics which are normally found in females. So defining feminization in fish includes they're producing proteins which are normally only found in females, yolk proteins, for example, which normally go into the eggs. They include alterations in structures within the testis, so the male gonad. They include, in particular, the presence of developing eggs within the testis. So quite unusual phenotypes, quite unusual effects of being seen in the fish as a consequence of exposure to these estrogens.
Now, these zebrafish in here are not ordinary zebrafish. These are engineered to help you with the work.
Absolutely. So, you know, these aren't native to English rivers, and we're using these very much as a model to try, as I say, understand how chemicals work in a body. And this is some work that Tetsu Kudu and a colleague and myself have been developing over time to help us understand where these chemicals work in the body. So these are what we call transgenic fish, and essentially there's some clever little genetic constructs have been placed into these fish in turn which then produce a green fluorescence. They glow green essentially in target tissues which are receiving and responding to these environmental estrogens.
Now, if you're a male fish, feminization sounds like a bad thing, but not necessarily. I mean, this is what you're investigating now.
Absolutely. So our concern really has been that we find this widespread feminization of fish in English rivers, but we don't know whether it's causing effects at the level of the population. Now, it matters if you're an individual fish and you're feminized because you have a reduced capability to breed, but does that really matter from the point of view of population? And when we think about protecting the environment, we don't protect at the level of the individual for wildlife like we do for human health. We protect at the level of the population. So some of our parallel work now is trying to address whether there are changes in the populations of wild fish living in English rivers.
And how do you go about doing that at a population level? I mean, you can see these zebrafish in the tank, you can see if they've got this fluorescence, so they're being feminized, but how do you take that next step?
Addressing the population level sort of consequences of something like this is an extremely difficult and challenging question to address. In fact, there are very few examples for any chemicals discharged in the environment where you can show a population level effect and link it to a specific chemical. Our charge, the way we're going about it, is we're trying to address whether there's been changes in the genetic structure, changes in the genetics of wild populations, and we're doing this by comparing those genetics of fish in the more polluted rivers with oestrogens compared to those in cleaner environments. So we're using specific genetic tools to help us identify if the populations have changed.
Charles Tyler from the University of Exeter. He was speaking with Planet Earth's Richard Hollingham. You can catch the latest Planet Earth programme on our website at nakedscientist.com/planetearth.